Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Parsha class learning at Ohel. Moving through, we just said the month of Elul very rapidly. But as Rosh Hashem, soon we will be B'Shah Tova, we should all be well at Yom HaDin. So it's Parsha's Kisetze. Last week was Shoftim. We ended up not covering the Parsha last week. We really had an Elul and Teshuvah Shir, the beginning of Elul. So this week's Parsha is Kisetze. The Shir is Parsha based. The Pasuk tells us Kisetze La Melchama. I'm going to just begin with a couple of insights onto the first Pasuk. And then we're actually going to discuss a little bit lessons from the Ben Sorer Umore, the wayward and rebellious son. Kisetze, let me give you the Parsha summary first. Parsha contains more mitzvos than any other parsha in the Torah, which is very interesting. Amongst the many mitzvos listed, Eishes Sifas Tohar, when you go to war and you see a beautiful woman, Ben Sorer Umore, the wayward and rebellious son, laws of what to do with a hanging corpse, Hashavas Avedas in this week's parsha, which some people don't realize, we think, you know, it's made into a song, Hashavas Avedas, return a lost thing. Actually, my niece just gave me something yesterday. Oh, my daughter, they found one of my daughter's socks at their house. And my daughter was so happy. She said, oh, I was missing this sock. It's blue with colored stripes. She says, I was wearing with a plain pink sock just at home to walk around. So I said to my niece, my 7-year-old niece, a Shavuos Aveda. I said, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We don't realize returning a lost thing. It can make someone very happy. Cross-dressing is aser shiluach hakein, sending away the mother before taking the baby. Build a fence on your roof. I'm just giving you an overview of some mitzvahs in this parsha. Don't sow your garden with a mixture of different vegetation. Oh, this is interesting. Did anyone buy? I bought them once. They were phenomenal. Last week, I bought in Costco pluots. Has anyone tried pluots?
Plum apricots?
I recommend them. They're fabulous. It looks like a plum, but it's a little lighter. It's not purple. It's not red. It's like somewhere between purple and red. It's a cross. So the kids tasted it. It was so delicious. It's a cross between a plum and a nectarine. So I gave it, the kids are eating them. So my 11-year-old says, is this Kilayim? So I said, what are you saying? Because my hearing, I didn't know what he was saying. He's like, Kilayim. I said, what? He said, forget it. I said, no, tell me what you said. He said, Kilayim. I said, oh, you know, maybe for the one who first grew it, it is. But now we're not growing it. We're not grafting two trees, one onto the other. But it was interesting that when he was eating it, that is what he said. Okay, so you can't. I remember last year when we planted a vegetable garden, I texted Rabbi Willett, is it a problem? Like in the same plant, or they put cucumbers and, I don't know, zucchini. Is that a problem? So he said, first of all, it's not a problem with those fruits. It's a problem in Eretz Yisrael, not those vegetables, sorry. He said, in Chutzlar, it's the only issue would be with grapes. Don't take any halachic psak from what I'm saying. But we should just keep in mind that there are practical applications of this. If you're planting a home garden, which many people do, you just have to keep in mind that there may be implications. Okay, shatnis. The Torah discusses adultery, rape. The Torah says that an Ammoni, a Moavi, can't marry into the nation. You can't take or charge interest. Laws of divorce, tzara'as, zechiras Miriam, in this week's parasha, it's one of the sheish zechiros, very relevant. The Ramban actually says, unbelievable Ramban, and the Ramban says, you would think you should not publicize the sin. Why would you think that? Why would you think the Ramban Nachmanides says you should not publicize the sin? Why do you think
about the person who's got saraz?
Because why?
It's lashon hara about the person.
Oh, that's exactly why the Ramban says you would think you should not publicize the sin. Because what are you doing? You're talking lashon hara about the person. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we're afraid of? But the Ramban says, I'm going to the exact passage, I can't find right now, but the Ramban says that is not the case, because even though she was a tzedekes, it is important for us to learn what not to do. Zachar Sashar Asa Hashem Elokecha Lemiriam Bedarech Betseischem Mimitzrayim. The preceding pasuk, by the way, okay, it's 24:9 for your own reference. Chof Dalid Tess. The preceding pasuk, Chof Dalid Ches, 24:8, Hishamer Benega Hatzaras. Now we know why Zechiras Miriam follows. You should be very careful from the plague of Tzaras. Tzaras, my definition of Tzaras, is a physical ailment with a spiritual ailment with physical manifestation. That is my definition of Tzaras. You can't call leprosy, that was its own medical problem, medical disease, if you will. Tzaraas is unique in that it is really a spiritual illness that manifests physically. Guard yourself carefully from negat tzaraas. To be very careful to do. Kochal shor yoru escham hakohanim halavim. Tzaraas is treated by and instructed by the kohanim. You don't go to the doctor like they command you. You should be careful to do. And then the very next pasuk, zachar sashar sasha melkech lemiriam. Be very careful to remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam, Bederach Batseis Chamei Mitzrayim, on your way of leaving Egypt. And Rashi says, "In Basalihi Zahar Shalot Tilaka Bitzaras." Rashi is basically asking, what's the connection between the previous pasuk and this pasuk? If you want to be careful not to be stricken with tzaras, Al Tisaper Lashon Hara. So you should not speak Lashon Hara. Zachar Hasui LeMiriam. Remember what was done to Miriam. Shadibra BeAchiha. She spoke about her brother. Velaksa BeNegaim, and she was stricken with Negaim, with the plague. So it's interesting. Rav Salvechuk says, "Quote: If you want to know what Lashon Hara is, whatever you enjoy speaking about somebody else, that's Lashon Hara." Now please don't start telling me you're talking about nachas from your grandchildren. That's not what I mean, okay? You have to use your seichel, but it's a very concise and profound definition. What's Lashon Hara, says the Rav? You want who it is? You don't have to be so halachic and try the category. This is this mutter, is this. You enjoy talking about somebody else. It gives you a little lift to talk negatively about somebody else, to share a piece. That's Lashon Hara. That's what the Rav says. It's very interesting. My brother, who I quote often, once asked Rav David Marcus, he says he's one of the Lamed Vav Nestarim, Rav David Marcus is actually the Rav who had just quoted great nephew. He's the grandson of Rav Aaron Salvechuk, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So my brother once asked Rav David Marcus, what should I do about Lashon Hara? We grew up with the Marcus children. This is later, though. My brother asked Rav David Marcus, what should I do about Lashon Hara? David Marcus said, what's the problem? Don't speak it. So I'm quoting these two things verbatim, okay? So the Rav says, you all know what Lashon Hara is? Why you enjoy speaking? But so my brother asked Rav David Marcus, the grandson of Rav Aaron Salvechuk, Zatzal, great nephew of the Rav, he said, what's the problem? Don't talk it. If only it was so easy. The Torah has to go out of its way to command us. It's an actual zechira. So the Ramban asks this question. So the Ramban says, we shouldn't publicize it. What are you doing? You're talking Lashon Hara about Miriam. But the Torah Davka includes it. And not only does the Torah tell us the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara at the end of Baal Lo Scha, it's Perek Yud Beis at the end of Bamidbar, the end of Baal Lo Scha. Not only does the Torah tell the whole story with the details, but here we have a separate zechira, because that's how important it is, says the Ramban, for us to remember how a tzaddik, even a tzaddikas, with the purest intentions, he says, the Ramban says she had pure intentions. And he says she spoke about her brother who she spoke about her brother who she loved like she loves her own soul. That's what the Ramban says. And she spoke for to'elas, she spoke for a purpose, and she spoke with a good intention. Nevertheless, look what happened to her, and we have to learn from that. So for us, who speak negatively, not necessarily because we love the person like our own soul, and not necessarily because it's for to'alas and for purpose. So it's a strong Mr. Haskell. So it's one of the Shay's Zechiras, something to keep in mind. Where am I up to? Pay a worker on that day. Oh, a worker must be paid on that day. Very, very interesting. Related to Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yukom Damo, who is the eldest grandson of the Rav, one of the Harnof Kedoshim. Rav Moshe Tversky tells her in his book, talking about paying a worker on that day, who tells her in the book, A Malach in Her Mist, if anyone read it, it's very moving and inspirational. It gives you a glimpse of what a gadol is, just a small glimpse. So when he once went to the barber with his son, they went for haircuts. And, you know, usually when you go to the barber, so you pay at the end for everybody to be paid at the same time. I know when I take my boys, I don't pay the barber after one gets a haircut and then pay after another. Everyone goes at the same time. You pay once. I believe the story goes, it was close to dusk and he was afraid that his fee was due on that day. So he made sure he didn't wait for the son to get a haircut. He paid as soon as his haircut was over. So the sensitivity to halacha and the sensitivity to the Torah and the mitzvah is just unbelievable. Pay a worker on that day. And finally, the parak ends with Zechiras Amalek. very end. Interesting that the Torah parsha. Why do I keep saying Torah? The parsha begins with Kiseise lamelchama al oivecha. When you go to war with your enemy, God will give him into your hand, and you will capture its captives. And the Torah, the parsha ends with Zechiras Amalek, which is the classic battle of our arch enemy, Zechiras Asher Salecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. But Derech Metzeischem in Mitzrayim. It's interesting because Zechiras Amalek, perhaps you could say it's not something that we need so to be commanded to remember. Why not? Amalek does a very good job of reminding us of what they did to us on the way out of Egypt and what they continue to do to us repeatedly. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way out of Egypt. Asher karcha badarach. I believe we once spoke about karcha. Rashi says, what does karcha mean? They chanced upon you. Amalek sees everything in the world as random chance. They don't see siyata d'shmaya or divine intervention. Also from the word called, kar is called, Rashi says, they're like a boiling hot, it's like a boiling hot bathtub. Nobody wants to jump in. You're going to burn your skin. When one person jumps in, they already cool it off a little, and the other people say, oh, it's really not so bad to jump into the bathtub. Amalek opened the way, if you will, not only for Amalek, but for our other enemies too. Asher karcha baderech, vayizanev becha kol hanechshalim acharecha. They struck the weak ones at the rear. Painful Rashi that we would not believe was true if, unfortunately, we did not know from our own experience that it is true. Vayizanev becha makas zanav. Interesting. What does that bring to mind? We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah in the Simanim. Shaniya levosh velo lezanav. You should be for the head and not for the tail. So Rashi says, choseich milos. What would Amalek do? He would cut off the place of bris milah on the male. Vizore klape mala and throw it up to Shammai. It's making a bizayah in the first command to Avram Avinu and Parakid Zayim Bereshis. His halich lefani vehei etami. Avram Avinu should go before Hashem and be pure. He should circumcise himself, and Yishmael was circumcised, and the Yelid Beso was circumcised, and Avram did the bris milah like he was commanded by Etzam Yomazeh in the middle of that very day. And the mitzvah that we have been moser nefesh with four generations, that's where Amalek strikes. So you might think this is metaphoric. Choseich milos v'zore klape mala. You know, you might think it's metaphoric, but we know our enemy. And nothing, unfortunately, is beyond them. And this can not only be seen as metaphoric, but unfortunately very much literal as well. Nothing is beyond them when it comes to cruelty against the Jews. We know that another symbol, they would cut off payas, shave beards. When they slaughtered the Fogel family, they left the house because they heard some noises, but then they went back when they saw the coast was clear and they killed the baby. I believe her name was Hadash. She had been sleeping in her parents' bed. They went back to, they slit her neck. And this is also a manifestation of Choseich Milos, that anything that represents the barbarity of Amalek in afflicting us is not beyond them. Vizore klape mala, not enough to cut them off. But what does that indicate?
They're throwing it back to Hashem like it's a
piece. Look, Hashem, look what we can do to the place where you think you make your mark in terms of the covenant. What do we say by Bris Lachniso Bariso Shel Avraham Avinu? So look at the mockery we make of the covenant that you have with Avraham Avinu. So it's not just to cause pain and it's not just to cause humiliation, but it's also connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. Who are they fighting? Ki Yad Al Keis Ka Mechama in Bishalach, when they first attack us, if we put these two pieces together, who's the real war against? Melchama Bahashem, Kiyar al Keiska. The hand of Amalek is on the throne of God. Dar dar. From generation to generation. So it's so interesting that the Torah, Dafka, commands us to remember Amalek, because I think it's very difficult to forget Amalek. Lo tishkach. We know these words practically off by heart because we read Zechira Samalek every year on Parshas Zachar. Zechira Zachar. Va'ata ayif v'yageya. You were tired and worn out, faint and exhausted. V'lo yare elokim. This is not referring to the Bnei Yisrael who did not fear God. It is referring to Amalek. Rashi specifically says that. Lo yare, it is not that the Jews were not God-fearing, it's that Amalek was not God-fearing. But I want to say something interesting. I spoke about last week, I'm not going to go through the whole shiur because it's on YouTube if anyone wants to listen. I spoke about the faculty of sight and lessons that I learned from the eclipse. One thing I forgot to say in the shiur, you know, after you have thoughts, next morning I was going for a fast walk. Mamish, the shiur is Wednesday night, and the next morning at 7:30 I was on my fast walk thinking of all the things I should have said in the shiur. What's interesting is that Lo Yare Elokim of Shamshar Paul Hirsch points out something important. The word to see and the word to fear, as in Yerushalayim. What are you really saying when you say Yerushalayim? We always talk about Yerushalayim. You should fear Hashem. But notice something. Lo yare elokim. They did not fear God, but it's also, you could translate it as? They did not see. If you gave those words to somebody who never saw this before, we've all seen it as long as we're alive, because you got a show on Parshas Zachar, so you know the words practically off by heart. But what is really lo yare elokim mean? Did they not fear God or did they not see God? The answer is?
Both.
Because they didn't see him, they did not fear him. Furthermore, I was thinking of the Mialdos. It's very interesting. By the Mialdos, they did not listen to Paro. And the Pasuk says, the Mialdos, Shifra and Pua, according to most interpretations, some say they were others, doesn't matter. Whoever the Mialdos were that did not throw those baby boys into the river, they were talking about Amalek. Whoever those Mialdos were who did not throw the baby boys into the river, it says, Vayihi ki yaru ha-Mialdos es elokim velo asu kasher diber aleim melech Mitzrayim. What does it say about them? It doesn't say because they believed in God. It doesn't say ki ya'aminu ba Hashem velo asu kasher diber le melech Mitzrayim. It doesn't say they believed in Hashem, so they didn't do what Paro says. What is the word that's used?
Yira.
They had yira. So on two levels, because they perceived, doesn't mean literally see on God, they perceived Hashem in their lives and in the world. They perceived Hashkacha Pratis, which is exactly what Amalek does not see. Karcha b'derech. Amalek doesn't see God. Therefore, if you don't see God in your life, you don't fear Hashem. You have to perceive the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam in order to fear the Ribono Shel Olam. And that, what was that?
No, that was close. Somebody turned off.
Oh, my husband just told me recently we're in the new house, so there's a noise. I said, what is that? My husband said he's making a joke, but I don't know if his joke was cute. He was making fun in a very nice way. He said, that's one of my favorite things that you say, Michal. What was that? Because they don't have any Yerushalayim, therefore, they don't see God and they don't fear God. Rav Hirsch is the one who points out that it's the same word, to see and to fear. So very, very relevant, very, very important. And therefore, choseich milos, because they don't perceive God. So what's the big deal? You cut off the place of bris milah. It represents that they don't see the Ribon Shalom. Rabbi Ariskin actually tells one of the most, I may have related this story, but I'm going to relate it again, talking about choseich milos and the difference between our mesiras nefesh, to see the Ribon Sha'olam in our lives, even when it's difficult, and the attitude of the Umma Sha'olam, Rav Chaim Brisker Paskins, the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Levrach, Chusi Algan Aleinu, says that Amalek is anyone in any generation who rises up to destroy. That I have for sure said before. Okay, that's what the Rav Salavitchik brings down. So, you know, it doesn't matter what nation they come from, who their great grandfather was. Amalek's really from Esav. Well, today you could say these people are from Esav. No, it doesn't matter. Rav Chaim Brisker says, who is Amalek, whoever rises up to destroy in that generation? That's Amalek. So it doesn't matter their genealogy and how they far back they trace their ancestry. It's anyone who rises up to cut us off, proverbially and literally. So Rabbi Riskin actually tells one of the most powerful bris milah stories I've ever read. And it's a mitzvah that is so easy for us in our day and age. You know, we forget the mesiras nefesh. Maybe you ladies don't forget, but my generation, and for sure the generation under me, forgets the mesiras nefesh, that generations of Jews, we live in a time, Rav Moshe Feinstein's is how coined the term Medina Shel Chesed, and that we forget I don't know, maybe the tide is turning, but it should always should be okay. The Mesiras Nefesh required for this mitzvah. So Rabbi Riskin says, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent him to Russia, and again, anyone who tries to snuff us out is Amalek. When Rabbi Riskin was sent to Russia by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he brought with Talisim. He knows that he was being followed by the KGB. He brought Talisim, he brought Sidurim, etc. I believe he's going back to the 70s. So one night, in the middle of the night, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at his hotel door. If you recall the story, it's possible. I have told it over before. There was a knock at his hotel door, and it was a man who was there, and they wanted Rabbi Riskin to officiate at the Bris Milah ceremony of his son. He had a son who was just born, a few weeks old. They also had a son who was a bar mitzvah boy, and neither child had had a Bris Milah. And they wanted Rabbi Riskin. They had a Mayel who was willing to do the circumcision. They wanted a rabbi to officiate. He is a Kohen. He could not go into the cemetery, which is the place that they chose to have the ceremony, because they felt that that's a place that was off the beaten track, if you will. The KGB would not be looking for them at that place where they were hoping to do the Bris Milah. So they decided to do it right outside the cemetery, at 4 o'clock in the morning, before it would be light outside, nobody would see them. And they met there. It was Rabbi Riskin and the father, his two boys, and the Maya. That's the only people who were there. And it was all in hushed tones. The only anesthetic, Rabbi Riskin says, for himself, he says, and the bar mitzvah boy, was a shot of vodka. And they did the Bris Milah ceremony in very, very hushed terms. No one spoke at all. And then they got up to Kshem Shenichnas the Bris, Kein the Kanes the Torah the Chupa the Ma'isim Tovim. Just like the child enters the Bris Milah, so he should enter to Torah, life of Torah, Chupa, Ma'isim Tovim. And when they said this, the father all of a sudden called out loud, Nisht Kshem, Nisht Kshem. And the silence was shattered, and they were very frightened. Here they're trying to be so quiet and not draw attention to themselves, and the father screaming, Nisht Kshem. They all stopped, and the father said, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I just know that I want my son to have Bris Milah. I don't know. I know it's tradition. I don't even know why I'm doing this. My children should have the Bris Milah. But one thing I know, I don't want them to enter Torah, Chuppah, Ma'isim Tovim, Kishem, like this. I want them to be able to live lives as free, practicing Jews. Riskin says it was one of the most emotional Bris Milah ceremonies he would ever have. But the unbelievable P.S. was that he was zocheh to officiate at the wedding of the bar mitzvah boy many years later in Eretz Yisrael. So it is the connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Umos HaOlam can't handle. V'zorek klap amala. This is what they try to cut us off from, to detach us from our connection to Mayim Chayim. V'haya ba'necha shevakecha chamikol evecha misaviv. When will that day come? We don't know. When God gives us rest from all our enemies around in the land that Hashem is giving us as an inheritance. Timcha et zecha amalek mitachas ha'shamayim. We shall erase the remembrance. Zachar zecha v'amalek from under the heavens. Lo tishkach. Do not forget. Timcha et zecha amalek, says Rashi, from ish ad isha, may all over ad yonik. Man to woman, infant to suckling, all the animals. Shelo yeshem Amalek nizkar afilu al behema. That Amalek should not be remembered even on in reference to the animals. You shouldn't even say that animal is from Amalek. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal brings down such a son-in-law of Rav. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal brings down such a interesting ha'ara into what exactly was the sin of Shaul in not smoting Amalek entirely. One second, please. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shel Kol Nehiya B'Dvarav.
Amen.
I said we're talking about Ben Sur Amur. Blee Nader, we're still getting there. We have to. I said we're going to. So what is typically given the answer? What was the problem?
Agag. That he didn't kill Agag, but he also didn't kill any of the animals. He took the animals.
Right. And well, who is Haman? What do we say about Haman?
Agagi.
Right? Haman Agagi. He left Agag alive. He didn't kill Agag. Led to Haman. And here we still are today. Right. So he didn't kill everybody. But Aaron Lichtenstein gives a very interesting, different interpretation into really what the failing was. Here we go. I'm going to try and say it right. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein teaches as follows. The fact that he left Agag alive means that his killing of everybody else was not absolutely l'shem shemayim. All the rest of the Amalekites, were not killed l'shem shemayim, but were killed for his personal reasons. If the killing was all absolutely l'shem shemayim, then what would he have done? Killed everybody. The fact that he left someone and something alive actually indicates his intentions were not pure. He figured there's some benefit in this. So really, the fact that he killed anyone was the Aveira, and not that he left anyone alive. The Aveira, i.e. the transgression, not listening to God, was in the fact that he killed anyone, because the fact that he left one person alive and the animals' lives indicates that the killings were not l'shem shemayim, and therefore that was the Aveira. So it's not that he killed, that he left Agag and the animals alive, but rather the failing was that he killed anyone at all, because it indicates he wasn't killing because Hashem said you should kill. He was killing for personal motives. He had some reason that he felt it would be beneficial to have this person and these flocks alive, which means that everybody else was killed. Not because Hashem said. If you do something because Hashem said, you do something because Hashem said. You don't put in your own cheshbonos why it's a good idea that this person should be left alive. Yes?
So that's true of a lot of mitzvahs that we have, whether it's kashrus or bris milah or taras mishpacha. They all benefit us, but that's not why we do it. We do it because it's a mitzvah to do it. The fact that it's a benefit is a very nice little icing on the cake for us.
Okay, so that's why we learned a few weeks ago, a mitzvah kala, haveiratz l'mitzvah kala kechamura, yisharanta lai mitzvah, like a weighty mitzvah. And we quoted Rabbi Lau, Yachel Yisrael, who said one of the definitions of a light mitzvah is something we do in public because it maintains our reputation, and another mitzvah kala is something we enjoy doing, like eating challah Friday night. So last week, Baruch Hashem, the kitchen's unpacked. So last week I baked challah, and I let my daughter, who is Baruch Hashem over bas mitzvah, the one who was mafish with the bracha. So I could tell you that Friday night when we ate those challahs with our chicken soup, it was really geschmack. So it's hard to say that that's a mitzvah chamura, because you enjoy it. There's some benefit to the mitzvahs. That's why it's so hard to be like avadim hamisham shenas harav shelo amenas the kabal pras. Because what's the pras? You get some benefit in olam hazeh. You enjoy it, and the enjoyment takes away from the absolute lishma. So he had some. So we have to strive to always fulfill l'shem shemayim. What else did I want to say about this? I think that's it. Okay. Any questions or comments? Should be zocha to see the day when finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smote our enemies, and we will not have the reminder, and we will need to be reminded to remember Amalek, because naturally we won't remember them anymore. We are certainly not at that day yet. I saw a picture on the front of the Jewish Star. The protesters in, where was it,
Charlottesville.
It's hard not to remember Amalek. Zachar. It's hard not to remember Miriam. That's unfortunately a mitzvah we, an Indian, we tend to forget. But Amalek, we're commanded Zachar. There's an ansay. And lo tishkach. That's the lo tase. Okay.
I also think about the Amalek. Jews in general have a reputation of having rachamim. And I think one of the reasons why we have to remember Amalek is because sometimes, and what I heard about the story about Shaul, one of the reasons why I heard he didn't kill her, what we were taught, is because he had rachamim because she was pregnant, and the animals, they're innocent. And on some level, this rationalization of having some kind of rachamim, I think Hashem is saying there is times when there has to be din. That's
absolutely correct.
Like
Amalek
has to be killed. You cannot have rachamim here. Because we always say we have to emulate God with rachamim.
Stop talking for a minute, Rizzi. Listen. He says, when you go to war against your enemy, I'm quoting from the last parasha. This was my weekly Dvar Torah last week on this pasuk. When you go to war against your enemy and you see the horse and the chariot, don't be afraid. Hashem took you out of Egypt. He'll help you. Listen to what Rashi says. That's why he stopped you. Alay vecha. Yihiyu be'enecha ka'ayvim. Al tirachem alehem, ki lo yirachamu alecha. That's why I stopped, because what you're saying is 100% emes. Ki sei sei lemechama alevecha is in last week's parasha shoftim, perachav pasagav. It's the opening to this week's parasha, perachav al pasagiyot, the exact same words. You can compare the two pasagiyot, it's the exact same words. When you go to war with our enemy, with your enemy, and what does Rashi say? Why does it mean kisei se lemechama ayvecha? Do you understand? What should the pasuk just say in both instances? Kisei se
lemechama.
You don't need your enemy. It should say kisei se lemechama ura vira isa sus virachav am rav mimcha. When you go to war, you're not going to war with your friend. The Torah doesn't need to say kisei se lemechama with your neighbor. Well, maybe kisei se lemechama al chavercha al yedidcha. You're not going to war. So why do you need the words Alevecha? Rashi, by the way, you know, there's a line of study, what's Rashi's question? Because Rashi always has a question. He doesn't usually state the question. The Rashi's question is, exactly what you said, you don't need the words on your enemy. So it's exactly what you said. I'm going to repeat it. And this is so relevant for today. Leia Golden is in the news over and over. Hashem Yerachim. She says she's counting the days since her son was taken. What does the Rashi tell you? You better recognize that that's your enemy. Al tirachem aleim. Do not be merciful on your enemy. You know why? Ki lo yirachamu alecha, because rachmana litzlan chalila v'chas. Leah Golden says it's 3 years and 3 weeks since her son was taken, and she will not be silent until he and Aron Shaul are brought back to Eretz Yisrael for Buria. Because when you, rachmana litzlan, fall into their hands, they will not have rachmanis on you. So absolutely, the Torah is teaching you, it's 100% correct what you just said, and that's why I stopped you. You see it right here. You have to know your enemy, rachmana litzlan. I remember when Nachshon Maxima was captured, the torture that they did to him, you can't even say it. The torture that they did to them. Chosei Chmilos is not an exaggeration. And you have to know that they're going to go back for the baby who's sleeping in her parents' bed. Don't have Rachmanis on these people. Chaim Bispos says, Amalek is anyone in every generation. You have to know when we are Rachmanim first, by Shanim and Gomei Chasayim. But you have to know, Rachmanis is not always appropriate. And if you have Rachamim, God forbid, when you should not have Rachamim, then you can get into very serious trouble. I'm going to quote, because you brought up, I'm reading this. It's not the right word. Because you brought this up, I'm retelling. Or we are relearning this Rashi. Then the pasuk says, I'm back in Shoftim. Okay, but Kiseitze opens up with Kiseitze lemechama, Alevecha, the exact same words, same question. So when you're going to war, the Kohen comes to rouse the people, to be mechazik them. V'nigash ha-Kohen, v'dibra al ha'am. The Kohen comes and he speaks to the people, v'amar aleim, and he says to them, Shema Yisrael, beautiful Rashi. Rashi says there, even if you have no zchusim, accept Kriya Shema, it's enough to be saved. Kabbalah so'amachu shemaim. You recognize, Kosh Baruch Hu. I was thinking of something else in last week's share on vision that I didn't say, so I'm going to share it here, since we spoke about Yari means to see. We spoke at the Minyabdos. To be makabel al malchus shemayim, why do we close our eyes? So I think we could relate it to the faculty of vision. You're closing your eyes, acknowledging, I'm not supposed to see anything around me. I'm only supposed to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I am kabbalas al malchus shemayim, it should be an epiphany of the Ribbono Shel Olam above me and in my life. Atem kreivim hayom lemechama al oyveichem. Once again, you're going to war against your enemies. Al yirach levavchem, don't let your hearts melt, don't be afraid, don't break down before them. But Rashi says, further to what you brought up, ein elu achechem. These are not your brothers. Why again does it say alevechem? Another time, nachamol, it says alevechem. She'im tiplu biyadam einam mirachamim alechem. If you fall into their hands, these people are not going to have mercy upon you. I think I still have the paper at home. Who remembers the lynching of the two, I think they were policemen who got lost in Ramallah at the window? They were released in the Shalit deal, those terrorists. They were standing at the window with their hands literally dripping with Jewish blood. Literally. Ein elu achechem shim tiplu biyadam einam merachim imalechem. These are not your brothers. If you fall into hands, they will not have rachmanis on you. Ein zo kimechames Yehuda Yisrael. This is not like when we had Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. Not in that order. Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Yehuda, in the south and the north. But everybody was part of Am Yisrael. And then Rashi tells us, and Rashi is quoting from Divrei Hayamim. It's such a beautiful Rashi. It's so worthy that you brought this up because it's so beautiful to point out the difference with a war with your brothers and a war with the enemy. The pasuk says of the war with Yisrael and Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Yisrael, Vayakumo Anashim Asher Nikbu Beshemos, the men designated by name arose, Vayachziku Bashvia, they took hold of the captives, Vachoma Arumehem Hilbishu, what did they do with the naked captives?
They
clothed them. What's the first chesed in the Torah? Masecha Sota, Yudal Ramar Aleph. What's the first chesed of the Torah? Torah Tchilasa Chesed V'Sofa Chesed. Darash Rabbi Simlei, Torah Tchilasa Chesed V'Sofa Chesed. The beginning of the Torah is chesed, the end of the Torah is chesed. What's the first chesed in the Torah? Vayas Elokim La'adam U'la'ishto K'sonis Ar. Vayal Bishem. The first chesed in the Torah is God clothes the unclothed. What did the Jews do for the Jews, even though it was finished with battle and they took captives? They clothed the naked. Min hashalal, from the spoils, and vayal bishum, they clothed them. Vayan ilum, what did they do to them?
They put shoes on.
They put shoes on them. When you think of Rachmana, it's on a slave. What does a slave not have? Shoes. Vaya achilum.
They fed them.
Vayashkum. Shkia lishtot. They gave them to drink. Vayisuchum, they anointed them. Vayanhalum b'chamorim l'chol koshel. Anyone who stumbled, they led on donkeys. Think of our enemies, Rachman Alatzan. And think of how a Jew treats a Jew. They gave them clothing, the first chesed in the Torah. They gave them food. They gave them drink. They anointed them with oil. Anyone who could not walk, they gave them a ride. They brought them to Yericho, Eitza Achehem, opposite their brothers. Ella, the Kohen, says, that's from Divrei Yamim. And the Pasuk is describing how the Malchus Yisrael treated the captives from Malchus Yudah. Where will you find a war like that? Mika Amcha Yisrael. So the Kohen says, Al Oivechem Atem Helchem. You're not going in that situation. You're going against your enemy. Lefichach Hizchazku Lemechama. Therefore, what should you do? You better strengthen yourself for battle, because if Rachman Eletzan, Hadar Golden, Aron Sha'ul, we don't know where Ron Arad is, Nachshon Waxman, the torture. They cut off the place of Milos. It's literal, it's metaphoric, it's indicative of what they want to do with us in the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you go to your war, know it's Oivecha. And there is no place, it's such an important nekuda, there is no place for misplaced rachamim. I remember when Sherry Mandel protested, her son Kobe Mandel, I'm not trying to be depressing, I'm sorry, I'm serious, Amalek. When Kobe Mandel and his friend Yossi Ishran were stoned to death in their home behind Tekoa, they cut school because kids don't always like to be in school. So the end was that they were stoned to death in the cave in their home by Tekoa. I remember the prisoner exchange. Sherry Mandel was protesting with a plaque, and she wrote on her plaque, "I am glad my son's killers were never found." Because they would have been found and they would have been
released.
So we have to know when we have to rachamim. And there's a place for a Jew to rachamim. And the primary midah we should have is rachamim. We also have to know there's a place for din, which leads to another beautiful ha'ara. And Hashem is the Malami Torah La'ama Yisrael. So Avichuk says this is what symbolizes our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hakel Hagadol Gibra Vanora Kel Elyon. It's his relationship with the whole world. He is great, awesome, mighty, the God of the world. That's his relationship with everybody. What symbolizes the unique nekuda of relationship between us, every Jew, and our Father in Heaven? Malami Torah La'ama Yisrael. What's unique about us? He runs the whole world. The sun rises and sets for everybody, not only for me. There's water for everybody, not only for me. There's thunder and lightning and rain and shade and sun for the benefit of everybody, not only me. So what's unique about me as a Jew and God? That's his Rav is a Melamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. He's our teacher. So perhaps now you led to a beautiful Ha'ara. Beautiful. You said there's also a place for din. That's exactly what you said. Maybe this helps us understand. Not that we need to understand. If we don't understand, too bad. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't need us to understand. But helps us understand a little, because humans have a need to try and understand the necessity for midas hadin. And I'm talking about vis-a-vis the Rebbe Shalom Olam. We're coming up to Yom HaTosh Hashanah. Yom HaDin. We always daven for rachamim, but perhaps the Malamei Torah La'ama Yisrael is teaching us that there needs to be din as well. It can always be rachamim. Give, 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 give. Everyone thinks that's good. There needs to be a place where the hand draws back and there's a time for din. And we need to emulate that. V'halachta bedrachav. What is the command? Leilech achar midos of Shel Kosh Baruch Hu. The same Daf Gemara we just quoted. Sota Yudalet. The Torah says, V'halachta bedrachav, go in his ways. And then the Gemara says, how could you go in his ways? Hashem is a consuming fire. So the Gemara says, Leilech achar midos of Shel Kosh Baruch Hu. Emulate his ways. That is going after God. And what are the ways of God? To be a Baal Rachamim, but sometimes to be? To know that rachamim does not always have a place. As difficult as that sounds for us, because we're such compassionate people. You know, last night, I'm going to take a comment in a minute, please. We just moved, so it's still a little hectic, but Baruch Hashem, we're in an okay enough place that I was able to be chal with my daughter. But we had dinner at my brother and sister-in-law, and they invited us, we left over Sunday. The kids are always going, are we going to them for leftovers? So there was like, 2 pieces of pastrami left, and I wanted them. I thought, my brother's not home, maybe he wants them. So I took one, I said, I'll leave the other one for my brother, he wasn't home yet. So my sister-in-law said, it's fine, I have more in the freezer sliced, I could warm it up in the microwave. There were many other meats, there was brisket, lendenbrot, chicken, don't worry. So I said, I'm going to leave it. So my 7-year-old niece took it on a fork, the last piece of pastrami. She said, no, it's okay, Auntie Michal, take it. She wanted me to have it. It's such a natural inclination of a Jew to be a Baal Rachamim. We don't want anyone to feel bad. We don't want anyone to feel bad. She's 7 years old. She gave me the last piece of meat. I said, okay. And then my sister-in-law did take out for my brother from the freezer. But it's such a natural giving instinct of the Jew. Al HaBakar Ratz Avram, going back to the Briso Shal Avram Avinu. What did they do? They gave water. What's the first thing Avraham Avinu says to the guest after he says, sit down under the tree? You kachna ma'amayim. What did the Malchus Yisrael do to the captives of Malchus Yehuda? They gave them water. Alabakar Ratz Avraham, take the last piece of meat. He wants to give them tongue of mustard sauce. What else do they do to them? They give them to eat. They give them to drink. They put them on the chamar. You're too tired to walk. Rachamim is a beautiful, important, primary meat that we should never stray from it. But sometimes we should. Because kiseisei la mechama al oivecha. They will not treat you like your brothers. Yes?
I just wanted to know, where in Tanakh is it in Malachim?
Move your hand so I could hear you, please.
The thing that you just said about chesed that Yisrael did for Yehuda. Where is
it? Rashi quoting from?
Yes.
It's from Divrei HaYamim Parak Chaf Ches Pasuk Tesvav. Divrei HaYamim 2. Oh, sorry. Divrei HaYamim 2? 28:15 Chaf Ches Tesvav. I'm quoting Rashi. Yes, anything else?
Thank you very much. No.
Someone else said something? You said something? Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we're going to relate this, 1 second. What should I do? I started talking about the Ben Saramor.
The poor Ben Saramor.
Whatever. He comments on it, actually. Whatever. Okay. My brother told me many years ago, he's a mechanech, he said, you know, sometimes you plan, you write, you prepare, it doesn't go according to what you plan. It's okay. You shouldn't be like upset if you don't get to what you said you were going to get to. Okay, the pasuk also tells us in this week's parsha, just turning to it, about shatness, okay? Excuse me. Oh, the mitzvah to make a makah around your roof, a fence. No one should fall down. You shouldn't be accountable. Pasuk chav parachav beis pasuk tes, okay? 22:9 for your own reference. Lo tizra karmecha kil ayim. I must show my 11-year-old this pasuk. He was eating the plua last week, and he said to me, is this kil ayim? You shall not sow your vineyard, right? That's what Rabbi Willick said to me. In Chutz Aretz, it's a prohibition with your vineyard, so I didn't have to worry about the cucumbers and the pepper being next to each other. Lo tizra karmecha kil ayim. Okay, you shouldn't sow with a mixture. Lo tachosh b'shar v'chamor yachdov. Next pasuk. So you can't have a mixture when you plant. You can't have a mixture when you work your field. Shar and chamor should not work together, and an ox and a donkey should not work together. There are boundaries. Lo til b'shatnis. So we understand the succession of these three pasukim. They're all talking about mixing things that should not be mixing things that are prohibited. You shall not wear combined fabrics of tzemer ufishtim yachad, wool and linen together. Okay? So Rav Soloveitchik says, the general category of kilayim is a general category. It is mixing diverse species, right? You shouldn't plant different fruits or vegetables together. According to Torah, it's talking about in your vineyard. You shouldn't have an ox and a donkey plowing together. You should not mix fibers together. It's a general category of kilayim, which is mixing diverse species. This includes various prohibitions, says the Rav. Trees mixing, animals, seeds. Why? Because he quotes the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. One who mixes items blurs the boundaries that God set during the process of creation. Hashem made things. If you go back to Maisa Bereishis, it says over and over, Liminehu. It's created according to its kind. Things are created according to their kind. We have to recognize that there are boundaries within creation. The Gemara says everything grows according to natural law. The Chazal know you never encounter the sun setting in the east or rising in the west. We never experience rain, says the Gemara, that fell out of season in Eretz Yisrael. You never chance upon a rock, say Chazal, that falls upward. A person, nature follows divine law, the Gemara says, and a person must also follow divine law. There are boundaries. One who violates the prohibition of kilayim negates the world that was created, limineu. That's exactly what the Rav says. If you violate this general category of mixing, though you violate limineu, things have a place, they're set. The principle of kilayim, says the Rav, and this is going to relate to our shir, and that's why I'm ending with this, maybe. Respecting boundaries. The principle of kilayim, respecting boundaries of unique aspects of creation, says the Rav, also applies to human identity and destiny. Regarding the Israelite camp in the desert, we know that they have to be camped according to their tribes. You can't just go wherever you want. It was according to the degalim, the degas. Each one had a unique degal. We're told in the beginning of Bamidbar, their own unique flag, their own unique color. And they camped according to how they carried the Aron of Yaakov Avinu back up. When Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim, Al Natzik Brin in Mitzrayim, so they carried him back. And they had to go according to the order that he... Say it again.
By Yaakov.
So that was the way that they camped. And that is how they carried the bier. Am I pronouncing the word right? And that's how they camped in the desert. In effect, the Torah is stating, with kilayim, with individuals, with our destiny, each individual has their own unique character, their own ability. Hashem wants everyone to know, through kilayim, what's the... You know, the hashkafic lesson from kilayim. The halachic lesson is, don't sow your vineyard with other fruits. The halachic practical application is, you can't have two animals together. I remember reading a story about a certain gadol was in the back of a chariot. Did you ever read the story? And when he discovered that the front of the chariot was being pulled by an ox and a donkey, let's say, he said, stop, and he jumped off right away, and he says, I have to walk next to it. So practically, this has practical halachic application, but the Rav is bringing us the hashkafic application, or lesson from these mitzvos. God wants us to know each person has a unique place. Listen to the next line of the Rav. Quote, when an individual loses his sense of purpose, he loses all hope. It's very profound. A person has to know, I have a purpose. I am unique. I have a tafkid. An ox is not a donkey. The donkey was used to carry the captives. Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, gave it to the captives from Malchus Yehuda. The dog is first. The ox is stronger and he plows the field. He has a different tafkid. Kilayim means that the apple has a purpose and the kiwi has a purpose. I don't know, that's not a good example. I think a kiwi is actually two different species. The rimon is important, and the zei shemen is also important. So are the olives, okay? So when an individual loses sense of purpose, he loses all hope. A person needs to feel that they have a reason to wake up in the morning, that I am important. I might not be an orange, it might be an apple, but I'm important. I might not be an ox, I'm a donkey, I'm important. This principle also applies to nations. So we were talking about Uma Yisraelis versus the Umos HaOlam. So the Rav says the principle of Kelayim also applies to nations. Our sages understood. Hashem gave the nations of the world unique talents. Okay. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't see them. What is the unrivaled talent of the Jewish people? And it's such a beautiful way to end today's shir, because we spoke about the fact that Amalek is not a Yirei Elokim. Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch says there at the end of our parasha, what does it mean not Yirei Elokim? They don't fear God because they don't see God. So what is the uncanny talent, the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael, says the Rav? Our uncanny ability to discover God. And as a result, God demands we live according to a distinctive lifestyle. The author of the Shulchan Aruch means sat table. Rav Yosef Cairo gave the first segment of the Shulchan Aruch the title Orach HaChaim, Orach HaChaim, because it focuses on the way of life of a Jew. If we succeed in achieving closeness to God, that is the function of a particular lifestyle. If we do not develop the right way of life, he says, all the technology in the world is worthless. We must reject negative attributes such as egotism, such as immorality. In a sense, we must be careful to apply the principle of kilayim. We can't mix what should not be mixed. And by the way, we can't mix with, if it applies as an individual and applies as a nation. So what does that mean? We can't mix where we should not be mixing. Yes.
I think it's really interesting the order.
Talk louder, please, Raisi.
I think it's really interesting the order of the Kelayim, because it starts with the ways of creation, because it starts first with the vegetables, then with the animals, and then it goes to man. And it's interesting. It might be very understandable why not to mix vegetables. And as you evolve the brain, there's more choice. By the time you get to man, he could find ways why it's okay to mix.
So what are you saying?
So I'm saying that the
We're starting from the bottom up.
So therefore what? I don't.
So it's saying that, you know, don't think that you're any different than mixing the vegetables. Don't think you're any different than mixing the animals. Because today people are mixing everything. And somehow you think you can, because you're more evolved, that we don't have to follow the rules of
The order of creation. What's interesting is that even when the Ribono Sholem created the world, not only did create Leminehu according to its kind, but he didn't create different categories within one day. The day that the vegetables, the Yarek Lemine, was created, that was the day that was created. Is that what you're trying to say?
He didn't mix it either. Yeah, everything was...
Even within the day, there was no mixture. This day is for light and dark. This day is for the Shamayim and Arts. This day is for the heavenly bodies. There was, even within not mixing and Lemineu, we didn't even mix up in the order of creation. So if this applies on a national level, so what is the lesson for us?
Don't mix.
There's a very strong lesson for us. We shouldn't be mixing where we shouldn't be mixing. Yeah.
I think, did you also mean to say that it started like at a simple level and it gets more complex? You might say that it's very easy not to mix vegetables.
Right, yes.
It's
easier to understand on a simple level, but when you get to a higher level, it gets a lot more complicated.
So you're saying by the time we get to the human being, we use our rationale and bechira to start mixing?
It's harder to see what mixing is.
Okay, even by Bilam, the donkey says to him, talking about donkeys, what did you do to me? I'm not your donkey that have been faithful. And Rashi says there that Bilam and the donkey were together. Yeah, wait.
Isn't this also with gender changing?
One second. Whoa. I can hear when multiple people are speaking. I can't hear. Say it again.
Gender changing.
What is she saying?
The transgendering.
Oh, I didn't hear what you were saying. Okay.
With the mixing.
Rahman al-Islam.
All the mixing.
That's not mixing, that's changing.
Okay, that's the ultimate. So we go from mixing to absolutely changing. Ladies, I want to finish the comments of the Rab before applying to questions or comments. In light of the above discussion, we can interpret homiletically the verse in the beginning of Kiseitse, which we have already spoken about. Kiseitse la mechama. So the Rav now starts with Kilayim. He's saying, what are these psukim doing here in the middle of Kiseitse lemechama avavecha? It's a reference to the spiritual war, says the Rav, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. In the class that I just came from, I spoke about Kiseitse lemechama avavecha as a reference to the, especially Kabbalistically, to reference between us and the war with our Yetzer Hara. But this is a totally different spin. The Rav says it's a spiritual war. Not only Kiseitse lemechama, when you literally go to war. Physically, there's a spiritual battle between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. One may be drawn to the beauty of the other nations. Ver'isa b'shivya eishas yafas Torah. We're not talking about literally. We're talking about the draw of the beauty, the seductiveness of the yafas Torah of the nations of the world. However, says the Rav, you must understand the principles of Kilayim that occur later in the Parsha and set appropriate boundaries. Says of Salvechik, the beauty of Yafis may be full of impurity, even though the outer appearance is captivating. And the Torah cautions us not to be too quick to take this woman, i.e. this captivating externality, into our lives. So he's relating Kilayim to the beginning of the parsha. You want to bring her into your home. What do you do, however? Vigilcha, you shave her head. Let her nails grow. She's to remove the simla shivya. Let her remove those garments. In other words, says the Rav, she shaves her head. She lets her nails grow. She removes her garments. Once you remove the outer layers of beauty, you see that mixing boundaries and their ways, it's not so beautiful anymore, says the Rav, you find cruelty. Isn't that what we said? How will they treat us? And egoism. While we may learn legitimate and genuine knowledge from other cultures, Rambam says, learn knowledge wherever you can find it. You have to be careful. Do not be taken in by the Yafas Toar. It represents the superficiality and external trappings of your enemy. If one takes a Yafas Tohar, the consequence could be disastrous. You're going to like this. We learn this from the Torah's juxtaposition of this with the, what comes after Yishus Yafas Tohar? Ben Sora Mora. Unfortunately, many failed to distinguish. They transgress the prohibition against Kilayim. He's not talking about shatness now. He's talking about on a national level. Not knowing how to integrate the knowledge of the nations of the world into the Jewish lifestyle. In America, we venerate politicians who often lie. We admire powerful people, even though they may be cruel. We do not learn the beauty from Yafis, but we absorb the negativity. We have assimilated the fingernails and garment of captivity of the Yafas Toar into our lives. The Torah insisted on clearly defined boundaries. Without such boundaries, says the Rav, the quest for sanctity can become completely undermined. So I ended with, during these auspicious days of Elul, when the Satan within and the enemy from without work overtime to cause us to stumble, let us recall how our brothers treat us. If we're too weak to walk, they give us a donkey to ride on. And let us be aware that even though Rachamim has its place and a primary place, a seven-year-old says, no, take the last piece of meat. That's all from Ve'al HaBalka, Ratz Avram. Avram Avinu ran in the pain of Bismila to be a Rachaman. We also have to remember Zechiras Amalek. And that din, the Melamed Torah L'Ama Yisrael, teaches us that din also has a place. We should be Zocha. That Zechiras Amalek, we will need to be reminded of it, because we will not have to contend with them anymore. But Ezra Sashem, and we should also be Zocha. The final lesson is very practical and applicable. That there are clearly defined boundaries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, boundaries HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Okay, ladies, next week, no class. Okay, so Ezra Sashem, we meet in 2 weeks. Thank you, everyone.